So there
Daisy
he is.
Like a little friend? Dixie? Dixie and Daisy.
All right, Luke 2. Verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Look, the word country there is chora, and it means just the actual region, the surrounding region over around a town. So it specifically, because they said they were in Bethlehem, so now this is the area immediately around it. And shepherds is a word that paramin, it means herdsman, or but it's metaphorically it's the presiding officer of any assembly. And they were abiding in the field. This means they were living under the open sky. They're keeping watch of the flock of sheep. Is what this specifically means by night. Let's take a second and go to John 10 about the sheep. You know the issue about where in the Gospel of John it says that John saw Jesus and declared that he was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, and we've studied that many times that that's not there's no male lamb that was ever a sin offering. And so the question came up last night about then where did the metaphor for sheep come as a metaphor for us, for the church? And it came initially in Isaiah 53, which all we as sheep have gone astray. But it's emphasized in John 10 here. So, John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep have I which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So, again, it's the reason all we like sheep have gone astray, the sheep and the shepherd metaphor for the church. Okay?
That's interesting about the other folds. Every fold always thinks it's the only fold. That's what I see. That's not the case.
Right, he's talking first to the Jews and then the Gentiles of the other fold.
Yeah.
All right, back to Luke. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Remember, for those that weren't here yesterday, there was a tower on the road to Jerusalem near Bethlehem, that the purpose of the tower was so that the shepherds could keep watch over the sheep, and if a sheep strayed they had to get the sheep up and bring him back because he couldn't go more than a certain distance and be suitable for the sacrifice. Remember, all that was going on here was about the sacrificial sheep. And it was well known because of Micah that the Messiah would come out of Bethlehem, And these shepherds were the first to announce the Messiah, and that's what their job was. But anyway, they were keeping watch of their flock by night. Every time we do this every time, but I want to, whenever we talk about night, I want us to keep in mind this mystery. So we're going to look at three verses, Romans 13. Verse 11, that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Now again, when it says the day is at hand, it means the day is here. The day is here. The night is far spent. The day for us is here. We're not in the darkness anymore. We're in the morning of the last day. Everybody understand that? I've said it so often, I hope. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, etc., etc. Okay, let's go to Ephesians 5. What? Somebody's doing it. Whose gears are going?
I just wonder about the not in rioting and drunkenness and chambering. What's chambering?
What you do in your mind.
Wantonness.
And rioting, rioting and wantonness are all the activities of your mind. I mean, there are other things too, but the metaphor is for the mind. Okay, Ephesians 5.
Here comes somebody.
Hey.
Hi.
That's all right. Come on in. You can come to Bible study.
You can come.
Verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children in the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving or testing what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And they're not, that's not talking about some secret little cobble or something. It's talking about what you do with your mind in secret. You don't put off the work of darkness. You still live in the works of darkness, the works of the Gentiles. You don't walk as a child of the light. You walk as a child of the night. And you have all kinds of excuses for doing it. And the excuses simply are a way that you faint in your mind because you don't wait on Him. And there's no exception. Amen? Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're still talking about night. First Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as a travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as the others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. We are the children of the day. The battle is finished. If you want it to be, if you don't want it to be, you can still muck around in the darkness, but that's kind of silly. Boy, do we have the excuses to muck in the darkness. Amen? Okay, that's enough reminding of darkness and light. Again, I'm going to repeat it because I think it's so important what we studied yesterday. There was near Bethlehem and on the road to Jerusalem a tower known as Migdal Eder, or the Watchtower of the Flock. Here was where official shepherds watched the flocks destined for sacrifice in the temple. Animals that strayed as far as that tower were still okay for sacrifice. And the Jews had a conviction that Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem and that he was to be revealed and announced from that tower, the Migdal Eder. And the revelation of Christ by the shepherds should just astound us. I never had studied this before. I spent about 5 hours going through the Talmud and finding this tower. Just blew me away. Anyway, back to 8. Back to the, I mean, first, wherever we are. We're Luke 1, Luke 2.
Eight.
Well, we just finished 8, now we're in 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Lo is the word idu in Greek, and it means pay attention, behold. The angel is, there's all kinds of angels. An angel just simply is a messenger, but when it says an angel of the Lord, it means something totally different. It means a supernatural being. Remember, we are locked in time. The angels move back and forth through without regard to time, as does the evil one. And God and Jesus Christ are seated in eternity. So these so-called soothsayers, you know, they may come and somebody may have a little bit of, what's that word, prescience? But it's always darkened. It can't, especially now. That's why the prophet, in terms of telling the future, is gone. Because the future is already here. So if anybody runs around and tells you about what's going to happen in the future, just take it with a grain of salt. Amen? Amen. All right. And the Lord is Kyrios, which means owner. And the angel came upon, it's ephestomy, which means stand over with suddenness. And it was actually, boom, an appearance, a sudden appearance. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Now, glory is doxa. Wherever glory is used, as far as I can tell, and I've made a big study of this, it's always either about the resurrection in particular or in connection with the resurrection. The same is true with the word hope. There was no word in Hebrew for hope as the word is an expecting of some good thing. You know, that you, well, I hope to get healed, or I hope this, or I hope that. And the hope word hope in the New Testament is used exclusively of the resurrection. But not the resurrection back then, the resurrection in you, in terms of your hope. Amen? Let's this shown round about them is perilampo. Let's see what another place where this is. It's always good to look at. Acts 26. Verse 12. We've talked about this many times, but he's before the King Agrippa, and he's using the defense, and he's just said all the things that he's talking about is what all of the Jews have hoped for. And verse 12, whereupon as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, and shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we are all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks, or hard for thee to resist the divine impulse. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But now rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast just seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Again, the only thing you testify of, he's the ultimate role model. You testify only of those things in which you have then seen and those things in the which he will appear unto you. It's always about him, not what he does. Amen? All right. Back to Luke. And they were sore afraid. Sore is just megas, which means great in any kind of sense. But afraid is... Here it's phobio phobos, really, really afraid. Phobio phobios, and it's the same thing. Just go back to Luke 1 for a minute. We see the same thing in verse 12. And when Zechariah saw the angel, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Now, if you look in the scriptures and you see in Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel, or it happens with Paul or Zechariah here or with the shepherds, and this is where all of these televangelists get this quote unquote slain in the spirit. That's how they justify it. The difference is that they fell down in fear. You understand? It wasn't some parlor trick. Anybody can do that. Wave your hand and people fall down. Because 20% of any audience are somnambulists. They're just waiting for somebody to do some weird thing.
But doesn't it also say they fell on their face as though dead?
A lot of them did that. But it's, anyway, I just want to emphasize that because we see it all the time in the modern church, especially the charismania. I don't feel like talking anymore. sore afraid. That's a good one to stop about. I want you to be, the fear of God has to be with you. And it's the fear of not, it's a fear that's based on love. It's a fear that you would do nothing to displease him. And you find out more and more and more every day what displeases him. Because what we do is we excuse our own rebellion. Because it's just the way people are. No. Then you are without fear, therefore you are without wisdom. Amen? How's that worked out for you?
You know the answer to that.
Very darn good.
Anybody else? Take it, big guy.